From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Deepak Bhatt, Senior Associate Editor for ACC.org. I'm filling in this week for Dr. Kim Eagle on Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. This week, I'm giving you a preview of some of the hottest trials at ACC 20, together with World Congress of Cardiology Virtual, from March 28th through 30th at accscientificsession.acc.org. Obviously, with the coronavirus, life has been quite hectic for those of us involved with clinical care, or for that matter, those of us involved with research, or those of us just trying to live life as normal. Nothing's been normal lately. But the ACC has made the wise decision to cancel the in-person ACC. However, the virtual meeting will go on. And we're lucky that ACC 2020 has a bonanza of clinical trials. I'm really excited about the new format. I think while this whole coronavirus is a real tragedy, it's going to force us to adapt and do innovative things that can be carried on even post-coronavirus. One of those will be this whole virtual meeting. And I like that format because people will be able to watch these late-breaking clinical trials in real time, but they can also watch them in the future if they miss the actual presentation. So in fact, I think more people will end up seeing the trials than would have otherwise been the case. The Victoria trial is studying a novel drug, a soluble guanylate cyclase stimulator, an oral drug, in patients with heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. We already know from a press release that the trial met its primary endpoint, but now we'll get to learn the specific details of what the trial really found. I'm excited about this trial because maybe we'll have another drug class that we can add to our heart failure armamentarium, in addition to recent breakthroughs like sacubitril valsartan and the SGLT2 inhibitors. It should be a good meeting for PAD. Voyager PAD will be presented. This trial tested the potential role of rivaroxaban in patients after lower extremity revascularization. We already know from the COMPASS trial in PAD patients that low-dose rivaroxaban added to aspirin looked quite good. I'll be interested to see if this success for rivaroxaban continues in the Voyager trial. We'll see. Somewhat related to that, I will be presenting COMPASS Diabetes, which is the large pre-specified subgroup from the overall COMPASS trial of CAD and PAD patients, but now specifically examining those with diabetes mellitus. Other exciting trials include Taylor PCI, which will, I hope, finally settle whether clopidogrel pharmacogenetics should or shouldn't be used in actual clinical practice. The science is fantastic as far as clopidogrel genetics goes, but it's not clear that anyone's actually doing it in routine clinical practice or whether they should be. So I think whatever this trial shows us, positive or negative, it will help advance the field and hopefully bring some closure to the area of genetic testing for clopidogrel, should we do it or not. Other trials slated for presentation include the spiral hypertension off-med trial. This has been long awaited. There have been a lot of ups and downs in the world of renal artery degeneration for hypertension. In Simplicity Hypertension 3, we didn't find any significant benefit of renal denervation in resistant hypertension, but catheters have come a long way since then. There's been a lot learned about the technique. One issue that has gotten a lot more attention is just varying degrees of adherence to medications among this population. Even when the patients are saying they're taking the medicines, they're not always fully taking their multiple medicines multiple times a day. That's particularly relevant for the resistant hypertension subtype. Nevertheless, we'll see what spiral hypertension off-med shows, because it's a nice, clean assessment of whether renal artery denervation in its current form has a significant effect on blood pressure or not, without the potential confounding effects of whether patients are on multiple antihypertensives and whether or not they're really taking them. So, very exciting to see what that trial will show. There'll be a couple of analyses from Twilight looking at diabetes and complex lesion subgroups. I think that'll provide further insights about whether we can get away with just 3 months of dual antiplatelet therapy with aspirin and ticagrelor in a sizable number of patients after PCI. The TECO trial will also be presented. That's a separate trial looking at ticagrelor monotherapy versus dual antiplatelet therapy. And if the results of TYCHO are concordant with TWILIGHT, that'll be more evidence that at least in some patients we can get away with shorter durations of DAPT, especially ADP receptor antagonists given as monotherapy. Specifically, it's ticagrelor that was studied in TWILIGHT and TECO. So we'll see what these subgroup analyses from TWILIGHT show, what TECO shows. I think there's still a lot of evidence out there for longer-term DAPT in higher-risk patients, but certainly in those that are at higher risk of bleeding, it makes sense to try to get away with one agent versus two. Also slated for presentation is a trial looking at e-cigarettes as a potential tool for smoking cessation. This will be a controversial trial, I predict, no matter what it shows. Someone will be unhappy with whether the trial is positive or negative, but I think it's great that trials are being done around this instead of people just assuming that e-cigarettes are good or bad or somewhere in between. Several months ago, I was part of an ACC tutorial on vaping, and I've got to say that created a ton of controversy with lots of comments on Twitter from caregivers, colleagues, individuals, companies involved in that industry. Yeah, there were a lot of strong feelings, I should say. Also at ACC, I'll be presenting the data from REDUCE-IT on EPA or eicosapentaenoic acid levels. At this point in time, the drug we studied in REDUCE-IT, icosapent ethyl, has been given a broad indication for high-risk cardiovascular patients, either established atherosclerosis or with diabetes plus two additional cardiovascular risk factors and triglycerides greater than or equal to 150 milligrams per deciliter. So that's potentially a lot of patients who are now eligible. A question that many physicians have raised is exactly how is this drug working? Is it the triglyceride reduction? Is it something else? So hopefully this presentation from REDUCE-IT will help answer some of those questions. And ISCHEMIA is also going to present some additional analyses. For 2019 on ACC.org, that was our most viewed clinical trial summary. So I predict there'll be a lot of interest in additional ischemia analyses that are presented at ACC. I will also confidently predict that no matter what they say or show, someone's going to be unhappy with the results. But as is the case with these large trials, we really learn a ton of information, not only from the main trial, but from subsequent analyses. And it can take years to really get all the information out and to digest it and incorporate it into clinical practice. And I really commend the ISCHEMIA investigators for getting out so much data so quickly. And I'm really eager to see what the additional analyses from ISCHEMIA show. And I'll be happy no matter what they show. Anyway, this is a quick sampling of things that are slated for presentation as late breakers at ACC. Thanks very much for listening to this week's Eagle's Eye View, your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. All the topics I discussed today will ultimately be available at the American College of Cardiology's website. Please find us there or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great week and stay safe out there with this coronavirus epidemic.